Reverend, with your permission, I'd like to make an announcement.
Young man, this is a house of God.
I understand that, Reverend. I apologize. The South Carolina militia is being called up. I'm here to enlist every man willing.
Son, we are here to pray for the souls of those men hanging outside.
Yes, pray for them. But honor them by taking up arms with us.
And bring more suffering to this town?
If King George can hang those men, our friends, he can hang any one of us.
Dent Scott, barely a week ago I heard you rail for 2 hours about independence.
And?
Mr. Hardwick, how many times have I heard you speak of freedom at my father's table? Half the men in this church, including you, Father, and you, Reverend, are as ardent patriots as I. Will you now, when you are needed most, stop at only words? Is that the sort of men you are? I ask only that you act upon the beliefs of which you have so strongly spoken and in which you so strongly believe.
Who's with us? Mr. Howard? Sir, may I have permission to write to Anne? Hey? May I have permission to write Anne?
Yes, you have permission to write me.
Write her?
Yes, sir.
Very well.
Thank you, sir.
Reverend?
The shepherd must tend his flock, and at times, fight off the wolves.
I just want to read you just a short fact, okay? Burns up and casts down this separation of church and state. It's not what it meant. It meant there'd be no religion required by the government, is what it meant. It didn't mean that people in government couldn't be holy and religious. Almost half the signers of the Declaration of Independence, as well as most every founding father, graduated from Orthodox Christian teaching seminaries. You know, Harvard used to be a seminary. Yep. Yale used to be a seminary. All those big Ivy League schools were designed to equip people to preach the gospel. Did the founding fathers subscribe to infidelity? The answer is definite no. infidels, Thomas Jefferson, John Marshall, both became Orthodox at the end of their life. And John Adams, the only popular founding father who attended, I won't go on, but it tells all the signers and framers of the Constitution that were ordained pastors, ministers. So a lot of the people who wrote the Constitution were righteous people. So praise the Lord. And I just thought that little clip, I remembered it because I remember that in the movie. I think everybody probably ought to watch that movie. There's parts in it that might be a little very violent, but so all I say is vote pro-life. You do that, you ask the Holy Spirit to tell you who to vote for, and I'm sure he will show you. I got to vote yesterday. It was cool, didn't have to wait but about 2 minutes. If you wait till next Tuesday, it will probably be a while. So I think John Jones, I don't know where your precinct is, but is open Saturday. Well, you can go to the courthouse any day, right? Yeah. Yes. I saw mine before it got fed into the machine. Yes, I looked at it to make sure it was correct. Yes, that's right. You should check it. So I looked up what vote means. I just wanted to I'll wrap this up, but vote, the meaning of vote is an act of expressing a formal indication of choice. So it's always a choice. And I was thinking in Joshua, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day who you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. It's always about choices all through the Bible, isn't it? Jesus came to the rich young ruler. What did he say? He said the rich young ruler had everything, and he came to Jesus and said something like, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He said, go, sell everything you have and give it away and come and follow me. He didn't say there was anything wrong with money. He just attacked the idol this guy had. He said, give everything away and follow me, and you'll have riches in heaven. And I was just thinking, everywhere in the Bible, there's choices, choices, choices in there. Jesus came to his disciples one day and said, who do men say that I am? Right? What was the answer? Some say you're a good teacher. Some say you're a prophet. Some say, and then he got real pointed and said, but who do you say that I am? Who do you choose? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God, right? And Jesus said, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but the Holy Spirit revealed this to you. So, praise the Lord. Choices, choices, choices. I thought of this one's kind of odd. Pilate, remember? Pilate, his wife had had a dream and said, do not harm this innocent man, right? So everybody's out there, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. And Pilate tried hard not to bow down to the crowd, didn't he? But Pilate said to the people, he said, it's your custom that I release one prisoner to you on your day of feasting. Do you want me to give you Jesus or do you want Barabbas? It was a choice. They made a choice. Give us Barabbas. Give us Barabbas. Give us Barabbas. It was a choice. So everything you do, if you choose, whoever you choose to vote for, listen to the Holy Spirit. Don't listen to Mark. Don't listen to radio announcements. Don't listen to the news. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Because, well, I'll just not vote. Senor, you're voting if you don't vote, okay? So just be faithful to do, because really, Look, I'm not dumb enough to think that either one of them, they both got flaws, major flaws. But you know what? You've got to go by the platform they stand on. You got to go by what they profess, okay? You got to go by that. That's all you can go by. And so just choose. Choose righteousness. Choose life. But don't shirk the responsibility and say, well, it's not my responsibility. Because if you that watch that little video clip, many people died in the revolution to give us the freedom to do what we're doing. To vote. It's a freedom. It's something that very few countries in the whole world have. Most of them that have voting, they're crooked voting, and we got to pray against that too. So God is good. Amen. Isaiah 61, y'all know that. Verse 1. Y'all okay? Lord God, we pray, Jesus. Hold your hands up. Jesus. Jesus. Call out to Him. Jesus, Holy Spirit. I need a fresh anointing. I need fresh life, Jesus. God, I don't want to leave here like I came in, Lord. I want to be changed. I want to be transformed. I want to be challenged, God. I want to be the life of Jesus Christ when I leave here, Lord. God, we come against idols in our life right now. Come on, we crucify idols right now. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Speak to each one of us different, but God, let us hear your voice. God, you are not far away that we cannot hear you, Lord. You are here. Holy Spirit, you are here. You're in this tabernacle. Put your hand on your heart. You are in this tabernacle if we believed on you, Lord. So God, have your way. Your kingdom come. Come on, tell him. Your kingdom come, Lord Jehovah, Yahweh. Your kingdom come, Lord Jesus. Your will be done. Your will be done. Point your chest right here on earth. I am dirt. I am dust right here on earth like it is in the heavenlies. Yes. Whoa. I'm so excited about the intercessors arising. I am so excited. See this? The four winds. I don't know how many of y'all got this in the mail a long time ago. But it's the four winds. And it says at the beginning of the four winds prophecy, it said, until that when the intercessors arise, then the wind will begin to flow freely and the sails will be raised. The enemy came in and he picked off the intercessors. Not that we died, not that we weren't still here, but discouragement came in, church split came in, everything came in and tried to destroy what God's doing through the intercessors. So what's about the intercessors? I remember a day in the barn, there was an altar call, and I don't know if anybody came up or not, but the intercessors started, whoa! And started getting, whoa, releasing, travail. And the Holy Spirit told me, bring them up to the altar, bring them up. Don't leave them out there in the seats. Bring them up to the altar. And they were wailing and screaming. And you know what? Souls started coming to the altar. Didn't preach no more. Didn't give no more altar call. But the travail broke. And the travail will break what's the heaviness, the religion over this region. In Jesus' name. That's the only thing. And there are intercessors. Believe me, there are intercessors. We're all called to intercede, but there are intercessors. And there's just a pull on their heart. It's a call, okay, isn't it? It's a call. We all need to pray. Men, we need to pray. Men, we need to be like them guys in the church. We need to rise up and be the men of God. Don't you know they had to leave their family, they had to leave their farms, they had to leave everything that was precious to them. Sometimes you got to dust off worldly stuff. Sometimes you got to dust off discomfort. I'm not picking on you guys. I'm not. Not at all. I just want to see y'all rise up and be the warriors and the winners and the mighty men of God that are prophesied in the Bible. Amen? In the last days, what? Your old men will dream dreams. Praise God. That means I get to sleep more. But your young men will have visions. No, that doesn't mean that at all. It doesn't mean laziness is never an attribute of God. Forgive me, Jesus. Wash me, Jesus. Isaiah 61, verse 1. I know we've heard this. Spirit of the sovereign Lord is upon you. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal, what? The brokenhearted. To proclaim liberty to the captives. The opening of prison to those who are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. To comfort all who mourn. To console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Listen, and they will, that's y'all, praise God, they will rebuild the old ruins, they will raise up the former desolations. They will repair what? The ruined cities. How many of y'all know we got ruined cities? We got cities, desperation. We got cities that are war zones right across the river. How many now have died this year? Murdered. 100? I don't know. I lose track. A bunch of young people are dead. And there's going to be a lot more of them dead unless there's an outbreak of the Spirit of God. And we can have our little community things. We can have our little dinners. No more violence. Stop the violence. You know what? Demons go, really? Stop the violence. When war was declared on babies, human life took a... It's not honored anymore. Human life is not honored anymore. Life is not honored anymore. Kids grow up thinking, well, I could have been aborted. You know, I mean, their thought, their whole thought process has been raped. So we've got to, God's got to gird us up again. And I know he's going to, but to give us what? Beauty for ashes. That's what the anointing does. The anointing brings beauty from ashes. The oil of joy for mourning. You can laugh. You can laugh poor. You can laugh beaten. You can laugh when everything's depressed and falling apart around you. That's where the test comes in. Right? Let's talk about the anointing for just a minute. The anointing does all these things. And Jesus, the day Jesus came and he read this in the temple, he said, today, this scripture has been fully filled in your hearing. And guess what? Stand up. If you're born again. If you're born again. I want you to point to yourself. Just get pointed. Say, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. Woo! Think about that. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon you. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord has given you the ability to bring beauty for ashes. He's given you the ability to bring joy for mourning. Praise God, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, to proclaim the day of vengeance of our God. You think about that. Isn't that awesome? Say, isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome, God, that you've chosen me? You chose me, God. Say it. You chose me, Lord. God, thank you for choosing me. Uh-oh. When you're chosen, though, you get this thing called responsibility. So if you're anointed and you're not using the anointing to further the kingdom of God, he's not going to whip you, but you're sure going to go out with your destiny crippled. Does that make sense? I've traded it all for, like the rich young ruler, it said he didn't walk away. I got all this money to spend. What did he do? It said he walked away sorrowful with his head down. How sorrowful is it to have the Spirit of the Most High God dwelling in you, to have the anointing oil flowing out of your hands and mouth, and not use it? Wow, y'all can sit down. Praise God. Let me tell you about the anointing. I studied this just a little bit. In fact, I watched a little bit of John Kilpatrick. That kind of pumped me up because I love. You got to see Pastor John last week, didn't you? But he didn't pray for people, and you was really disappointed, weren't you? If you just got 5 feet from him, you would have been okay. If you just pressed in a little bit, you would have got the anointing, and you could have prayed for all. You can anyway. Who? Maybe you do need to pray for us today. Maybe all the intercessors that went need to pray for us today. We're going to do that in just a minute. Yes. Yes. What's that?
Yes, Lord.
The anointing oil. I should have brought it out. Do you know that we've got probably 10 gallons of anointing oil? It just all came in at once. Yes, Holy Spirit, what? I hear music from heaven, Lord. What is this? Now you made me forget what I was going to say, man. Why'd y'all do that? Anointing oil. They took olives. This sounds like a commercial. They took only the choicest olives. Only the choicest olives go into my oil, the Lord says. It's true. It is true. The ones that fell off the tree, they did not have oil in them. They were unusable to make oil. Only the ones that were picked when they were ripe, they were full of juice. Then they were put on this grinding wheel that weighed about 2,000 pounds, and they were crushed. They were crushed. They were crushed. They were crushed. And I was looking at this scripture, Isaiah 53. You don't have to go there. It says, talking about Jesus, prophesying him, he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised. We did not esteem him. He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. Right? By his stripes we are healed. Praise the Lord. But he didn't just come to heal our bodies. Some churches think he only came to heal your soul and forgive your sins. So he's a full God. He heals spirit, soul, and body. He is holistic. What's that? Holistic medicine now? They're trying to say, yes, you need spiritual there. And that's really wisdom, if it's the right spirit. So many of them are going after witchcraft and stuff. But if you do it right, it's good things. We esteemed him, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Bruised there, I looked up bruised, and it means to be crushed, to be shattered, to be made contrite, to allow oneself to be crushed for your iniquities. So this crushing had to go on. This crushing and this testing and this trying. And it brings out, when it's finished, it brings out pure oil. Oil. Remember Jesus on the cross? Jesus, when he was persecuted, it was like, if you're the Son of God, come off this cross. Come on, you fake, you imposter, you nobody. Spit on him, cursed him. And you know what? If Jesus said, shut up, I'll see you in hell. Did he do that? What did he say? We might have done that. He said, Father, forgive them. They know not. And you know what happens? We all go through trials. There's no badge for going through a trial, I hate to tell you. Everybody goes through trials. I just thought of something in this box. Probably can't get it open. Everybody goes through trials. But only those who go through trials and handle them correctly get the anointing.
That's right, bro.
You don't get the anointing by murmuring and complaining.
That's right.
You get the anti-anointing. No, really, you do.
Come on.
You lose your anointing when you complain. Why God? Why me? And I know it's hard sometimes, man. I know. I've got an easy life. Some of y'all have went through a lot. But we've all went through some stuff. And God goes, wow, you handled it just like Jesus. I've seen people that handle things just like Jesus. And if he lives in us, it's possible. Sure, we're going to blow it. Sure, there's going to be times when we don't get it right. But how bad do you want the anointing? What does the anointing accomplish? Destroys the yoke. Exactly. Amen. Amen.
It's life.
It's oil. It's lubricating. If everybody's anointed in the church, they don't rub each other the wrong way as much because they're lubricated. They got that oil just dripping off of them. You think about it. Okay, let me ask you this question. This is a deep question. How many of y'all ever eat a sardine? Come on, be honest. You like sardines? Well, I did when I was a kid just because we thought it was cool eating whole fish. I don't think it'd be too cool now, but they're good. Who said they're good? They're good? You like mustard sauce? Well, I tell you what, they're generally were always packed in oil. And I found out why they pack them in oil. Why? To make them taste good? Well, it's because you've seen them. They're packed in there like, it's incredible how many of them little things you can get in a can. But you think about it, and they say the reason they're packed in oil is so they're lubricated. Because when they're thrown down, and you know how they handle packages, when you get them, they won't be all broken up and all twisted. That was the reason. Nice. I know, that's not a very good. So when we're all packed into a can and we're all packed into a tight situation and the enemy's coming and rising against the church, if we're lubricated with oil, we're going to make it. We might still have some rough spots, but we're going to make it. You need to pray that for your brother and sister. You need to pray the anointing on your family. You need to pray the anointing on your church. You need to pray the anointing on your pastor.
Yes.
But the anointing has to be earned. Listen, no, I know it's a gift, but the anointing increases when you spend time with God, when you spend time with other people that are anointed. But the problem, how many of y'all, I know y'all so well, I can't even ask a question. A lot of y'all have been to, you were at Lakeland, correct? Y'all went there, I don't know how many times you went to Lakeland. I went to Lakeland a few times, a couple of times. Went to Pensacola 13 times. I know exactly. And if I was to multiply, every night I was in there multiplied by everybody that's got a hand on them praying for people, I probably had every hand laid on me that could be laid on me when I went to a revival meeting. Because these were some really, 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 really anointed people. They really were. They carried a strong anointing of revival and healing and signs and wonders, and you guys know that. But you notice something. They must live a life consecrated. That's the word I was looking for. Because you know something, it's amazing when these intercessors pray for you this morning and whoever else prays for, when they pray for you, you're going to receive an anointing.
That's right.
You will receive it if you want it. Honest. You got knee-gutted, didn't you, man? By the man. Like, wham! Didn't you get one of them?
I did.
Yeah, praise God. Better you than me. Anyway, I've been thrown across the room. I've been prayed for, wham! Fly through the air. I don't know if y'all have ever had that happen to you. And you come back, and like everybody you're around, they feel it, they get it, right? You should know Holly, right? Is that true? But you notice when Moses went up on the mountain to meet with God, didn't he? He came down and he was glowing. I've never been glowing before. Glowing. And the presence and the Shekinah presence of God radiated. He was scary to be around. Yeah, they put a veil over his face, but you know what? They said, they didn't put the veil on his face to keep the glow off. They put the veil over his face so the people wouldn't see it fading. See, you go to that mountaintop, you go to that place and get prayer, you got to cultivate it. You can keep the anointing. You don't have to give it away. You don't have to have a fit of anger. You don't have to have a give in to some lust. And if you do, you have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus, but you can embrace the anointing. You can keep the anointing. My Lord, how bad this world needs the anointing. Whoa. Have you ever just been... I went to the funeral home the other night. I know. What? Oh, boy. But this family, it's Donna's... Her brother committed suicide a number of years ago, and we witnessed to them and took them to the judgment. Remember the judgment house? It used to be at Graceland where they had, the plan of salvation and everything, and a haunted house. It was really cool. But we did everything we could, we thought we could, to get Sonny to come in, but he may have. I don't know. But this family has been decimated. I mean, when you walk into this room, it's just death. I don't mean physical, but just heaviness. And it's like, and problems and health problems and just everything that can go wrong. They're losing all their money. And I mean, it's just horrible. And Pat, my, Pat, daughter, yeah, was she to me? My sister-in-law. She has had numerous heart problems and she's had a stroke last year. This lady's a lot younger than I am. And yeah, you know, I was just in there and everybody was off on their trips talking about getting drunk and da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you know. I said, you think, well, what am I doing here, man, you know? And I just sat down next to Pat and I just started talking to her. And I just put my arm around her because I felt her pain. You know, I just felt her pain. I didn't give her advice. I didn't say, you need to do this. But she started weeping. And all the people around her are like, what's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? I said, it's okay. Just let her cry. So I believe God did a work. And it wasn't because I give her wise words. It was she could feel freedom. She could feel life. I'm probably not the most anointed person, but to them, you know, to them that live in darkness, you're like a comet. Really. Really, you are. And sometimes they're going to reject you. Sometimes they're going to push you away because that much light is scary. But as God reaches into these hopeless situations, you know, the way I figure it, this election, it's God is going to get glory.
Yes,
I thought Wednesday night we need to have a celebration of praise no matter what happens.
Amen.
We need to celebrate, God, you win, and God, you're going to take care of everything. God, what the enemy meant for evil, we already know that you are going to use for your glory. If we're going to pray, I better hurry up. So, when you are crushed, Jesus was crushed, wasn't he? Jesus was crushed. He was rejected. He said, eat my flesh, drink my blood, and everybody that had been following him around the thousands, they didn't follow him no more. So, he was rejected. But listen to what Peter says. He says, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy.
Amen.
So the glory comes. The glory comes when we rejoice. Especially when it's something that's not you would normally rejoice at, right? Matthew 5, blessed are you when they, what? Revile you and they persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Be sure it's falsely. If you're a jerk, you're a jerk. You know, if they're calling you a jerk and you're a jerk, get over it. Don't be a jerk no more, really, you know? There's lots of Christians that act like jerks. No, really, holier than thou, you know. I mean, God hates sin. But you know what? When Adam fell, before Jesus, guess what? I got this from John Beaver, right?
Yeah.
I heard it the other night. He said, why do we get so upset with sinners when they're doing what's in their DNA? They're doing exactly what they're programmed to do. He said, what don't make sense is Christians that are born again walking like that. Now, that should upset us, but I thought that was a good word. John Bevere, not Beaver. I thought y'all knew that. So when you are saying, when I am crushed,
when I am crushed,
the anointing oil
flows.
Yes. Pray for a crushing. You'll get enough. You'll get enough without praying for it. Isaiah 10:27, it will come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed, put to an end, defeated and ruined because of the anointing oil. So, where there's an absence of the anointing, where there is a yoke, there is an absence of the anointing, because the anointing breaks every yoke. So where we're yoked with something that we don't feel like God wants us to be yoked with, we need more anointing to overcome that. So and that's why the Bible says sharpen each other. Iron sharpens iron, like you guys all getting together. You're probably from several churches that are like, man, we really need intercession to rise up again, but y'all came together in agreement for the same thing. And so God moved, didn't he? I'm assuming he did. Y'all look like he did. I'm going to read this. This is a plaque that was made up for this church after the fire. The church called Faith Harvest in Greenville, Indiana. I never cease to give thanks for your love and perseverance. You truly are a flock that doesn't faint and follows Jesus even when things become hard. June 26, 2003, the waves crashed down and the flames burned high. Yet I will trust you, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness to the holy vision and the harvest. I love you, Pastor Mark. And I truly do love the people that made it possible to get through that very, very, very hard time. Let's stand up. And then we're going to have prayer. Let's just close our eyes and worship Him a minute. Jesus. Jesus, we love you, Jesus. Holy One, risen Son, you have been my shelter. You set me free, and now I see the light of the world. I will worship you no matter what I'm going through. The waves crash down and the flames burn high. Yet I will trust you, Lord. I will worship you no matter what I'm going through. The waves crash down and the flames burn high. Yet I will trust you, Lord. You set me free, and now I see a light that shines in the darkness. You set me free, and now I see the light of the world. You set me free, and now I see a light that shines in the darkness. You set me free, and now I see light of the world. I will worship you no matter what I'm going through. The waves crash down and the flames burn high. But I will trust you, Lord.
I will worship you no matter what I'm going through. The waves crash down and the flames burn high. Yet I will trust you, Lord. We trust you, Jesus. Lord, Holy Spirit, we trust you. We say it with our mouths today, God. We trust you, Lord. We just say it with all of our hearts today, God. We trust you, Lord. Everybody just begin to lift your voice to the Lord. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We love you, Lord. We love your presence, Lord. We love you, Jesus.
The reason at Brownsville, the reason they always had prayer, but you know what always happened before prayer? They always had an altar call. If you had something between you and Jesus, you needed to get it washed. You need to be empty vessel to receive from the Lord. So if you've got anything, if you've got a besetting sin, if you've got anything in your life that you just need to get straight with you and God, just between you and God, please come and get that settled. And then get prayer. And see God, see what God will do. But have a clean vessel. Everybody that went on this weekend deal, come on up here. Mary.
Sarah and Melissa.
Sarah?
Melissa.
Is Sarah here?
Yeah, Melissa.
Melissa? Hallelujah, Jesus. If you want prayer, if you need prayer, if your body needs to be healed, if you need more of the Lord, if you need a fresh anointing, come receive.